again, right? Like, it's weird. It's like we did this morning. No, so thank you all for coming tonight. I know with daylight savings time, this is a little, we all lost an hour and we're still grieving that, but hopefully we can get over that grief and move forward, because unfortunately it got pushed on us. But yes, I'm giving the lesson today. Since today is our prayer service, I really wanted to do a brief lesson where we discuss prayer. We talk about the foundational pieces that make it up. So that way, as we go through the prayer service, our heart, our thoughts and our minds are guided so that we do so in the best way possible with the edification of the Scriptures. So without further ado, let's jump straight into the content. So the first question, all these questions are rhetorical, but if you know the answer to, I'll let you speak out if you'd like to. What is prayer? In this instance, it's the heart's desire expressed. It's a heart's desire expressed in the name of Christ. And if it is expressed in faith of God, that he will hear anything that we ask as long as it is according to his will. So, pretty straightforward so far. Moving forward, why do we pray? Why do we do this? Where do we see this to be done? And Hebrews 4, verse 16 tells us to do so in a way that is bold. We are to boldly go before the throne of grace so that we obtain mercy and that we find grace in the time of need. So that's why we pray. We also pray because we're told to. We're told to pray without ceasing, as we discussed earlier this morning. Who do we pray to? We pray to God, giving thanks to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And parenthetically, through whom do we pray? Because that's important. We don't simply just pray straight to God. We pray through Christ, who is our intercessor, let me slow down because I need to do that. I realize I go rather fast and my thoughts get jumbled. Anyway, we pray to Christ because we pray to God, but we pray through Christ, who is our intercessor. And as you can see in these verses here, we see that in the Scriptures explained for us. We thank God through Jesus Christ for you all. We see in Colossians 3 that whatsoever we do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Him being Christ in this example, in all of the examples that we see. So we pray because it's important, because it benefits us. We pray to God, but we pray through Christ. How often should we pray? I jumped ahead. Should have practiced more. Anyway. Romans 12, verse 12, tells us that we rejoicing in hope, or we are to do so, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. Instant here meaning continuously, doing so instant in season out of... Sorry, that's a different passage. But we're to pray constantly. And so if you have an opportunity, pray. If there is something that is troubling you, pray. So now that we know the rate at which we should be doing so, how are we supposed to? James 1, verses 6 and 7 tells us that we are to ask in faith, nothing wavering. So when we come to the Lord, we need to do so with resoluteness. Because if you waver, you're nothing better in this. We're told that for he that wavereth is nothing better than a wind, than water driven by the wind, tossed to and fro. You're basically have the strength of a pool noodle. So we also, in verse 7 of this, it tells us that we won't receive anything of the Lord if we come so waveringly. So, and I'm bad about this in my prayers because I go and I'm like, if it's all right with you, and if you, and I've got to get better at that myself. So just to let you know, if any of you share that same predilection, you're not alone in that. But 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15 says that we are to have confidence in him And if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. It's that simple. If we've done so, and if we've asked according to his will, he heareth us. And if he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So it is quite that straightforward. We asked in the right way, we get it. So who do we pray for? We constantly see throughout the Gospels and throughout the New Testament in general that the apostles and the writers pray for others. So there's an importance to pray for others around us as well as ourselves. So 1 Timothy 2 tells us that we're exhort, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made to all men, for kings, for all those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. There's a lot to unpack there, and I encourage you to go back and revisit that, but there's all kinds of things that we can pray for, and we're encouraged to pray for these things because we see it modeled for us in the Scriptures, and we should do likewise. 2 Thessalonians, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. So we're to pray that the work of the Lord continues forward. We are to be delivered from unreasonable men. For those that we sponsor in Pizza or in Sierra Leone, we're to pray that their work goes unhindered and that they are able to spread God's word. Is there anything else that we should include? For one verse I've included is Mark 11, 25 and 26. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you. So we're to forgive and we're to ask for forgiveness of our own sins. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So there's a very quid pro quo again here. If you will forgive, you can be forgiven. But if not, there is a consequence for this. What if we don't pray according to his will? James 4:3 says, if ye ask and receive not, it's because you ask amiss, and that you may consume it upon your lusts. There, if we are not being answered, perhaps we are not asking to the will of God. Perhaps we're asking for our own selves. And there is a need to rectify that in your own understanding. And by searching the Scriptures, we can edify ourselves and perhaps see where we've fallen amiss. Are there any other conditions? Sorry, I'm trying to let us get to prayer so we can actually do the important part here. But are there other conditions to how we pray? Yes, there are. 1 John 3 says, whatever we ask, do so keeping his commandments. Do these things that are pleasing in his sight. So we are to continue our good works. We're to bear fruit. We need to do these things and be in a righteous standpoint. So when we approach God, we know where we stand because we're doing the good work of the Lord. James 1 verse 7, which we read earlier, we should not let anyone think that we receive anything. Bolstering the verse right above it. I'm so sorry. Got overly nervous and now I'm tripping up and now I'm losing my... Sorry. So there's a risk for... Oh, wow, that went over two slides. Anyway, so who can pray? Is there anybody that shouldn't? Psalms 34 tells us, the eyes of the Lord are open to the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. So like we see before this, it was important that we do good works and that we follow the will of the Lord. And if we're not in a righteous standpoint, we are not heard. Because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, 1 Peter 3 verse 2. And his ears are open, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So that is a terrifying prospect to not be heard because you are in sin. And unfortunately, we're all sinners. It is possible even to have sinned even after you've been baptized or to fall away and end up in error. So you need to constantly be in that right path to also make sure that you are heard when you pray. So God won't hear sinners. That is a terrifying prospect. And as I was studying this, I've never really spent time dwelling on John 9, where a blind man speaking says that he knows, and he's not even a learned man at that, knows that the prayers of sinners aren't heard. So how does he know this? Well, I'm assuming that he has read in Proverbs and Psalms, because Proverbs 29 tells us the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayers of the righteous. Note the absence of hearing the prayers of sinners. Proverbs 8 tells us similarly that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 28 and verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, his prayer shall be an abomination. Psalms 34, Psalm 66, just wanting to make sure that I gave sufficient evidence for this statement. So, should a sinner pray at all? Now that we understand that the Lord will not necessarily hear the prayers of sinners, should they even bother praying? And the answer is yes. Proverbs 1, verse 24 through 28 tells us, because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity, I will mock. So here we see in these passages that while we may be sinners and we're not doing what we're supposed to, the Lord continues to try to make ways to reach out to us. I've reached out my hand, wasn't hurt, wasn't reached out to. I've tried to provide counsel, you reproved it. And so the Lord does make that effort to try to connect with us. Isaiah 59, perhaps even more telling. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. So our iniquities set us apart from him. And if we are sinners, we need to be working to go back and become righteous, so that we can be heard. The Lord hears us, but our sins distance us from him. So we need to close that gap through the good and acceptable service that he is due. So with these things, I hope, and I apologize for my muddy presentation. I'm sorry about that. But I hope that these discussions about why we pray, what we pray about, who we pray to, who we pray through, will help you as we go through these prayers tonight, and that they will help help you with your prayers in the future as you continue to pray without ceasing. So in closing, if you are in need of prayers and you want that opportunity to come forward and ask for help, please do so. And if we can help you tonight by being baptized so that you can begin the path of righteousness, please do so as we stand and sing in encouragement.